Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Anthony Bellino coming live from the Radio Bunker, joined by, of course, Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the Motor City studio. And joining us on the horn right now, he covers Michigan State football and basketball for the Detroit Free Press, our good friend Chris Solari. You can find him on Twitter at Chris Solari. Chris, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to do this morning and join us in a very hectic couple of weeks here in the state of college basketball. How are you, my friend? You tired yet?
Oh, I've been tired for a while, but that was because I foolishly, after their 20-day off pause, decided to drive out to Rutgers and follow that team. So that was my fault. And then, yeah, but really, since the back-to-back trips to Indiana in the same week, we're on a tournament grind schedule right now, and there's still there were 3 weeks left in the regular season at that point. Now there's just two games remaining, and they just happen to be the biggest games in the state every year.
You know, and this has been such a strange season for college basketball, and the way that the Big Ten has shaken out, if you look at these games, and I keep bringing this up, you know, throughout the show all week long, and especially after what happened to the Michigan Wolverines on Tuesday, you know, they got absolutely destroyed by Illinois. There's no other way to put it. I mean, Illinois punched them, and there was no response, and then they just kept on punching. And Trent Frazier was having the time of his life, and Andre Curbelo was having a blast, and he was just giggling and smiling the whole game. And, you know, I live in a constant state of fear night to night because it's college hoops. But this year, when you have a Michigan State team that beat Ohio State in Illinois in such, you know, in close proximity to one another, it felt like, hey, Michigan State, you know, they're really turning the corner. Like, this team, you know, it might have taken them a little while, but they figured some things out. It was Indiana, Illinois, Ohio State. You were feeling really good. And then Maryland happened, and it was like, how, and it's not like Maryland even really just, I mean, that was a 73-55 game. I mean, Maryland, you know, they kind of beat the brakes off the Spartans. Michigan State rallies with a game against Indiana on Tuesday night that Ryan described multiple times Wednesday morning as what looked like a JV basketball game, looked like elementary school ball. It's just been an odd season in which no team is safe here in this conference.
Yeah, especially going back to the Tuesday game in East Lansing, I thought for the first maybe 30 minutes of that game, it really was. I mean, it was awful to watch. And I thought Michigan State did what they did at Indiana in terms of going to that lineup with Langford at point guard and Henry and Brown and just attacking. And, I thought the game exponentially got better maybe over the last 10 minutes, both teams kind of trading points and trading leads back and forth. But, you know, the other 30 minutes weren't exactly pleasurable to watch in any respect, especially when the whistles are blowing like they are on both ends. But, you know, that's part of college basketball right now, too. And I mean, we've seen some poorly officiated games at a lot of different places in a lot of different towns. And you wonder, you know, some people don't talk about this, and this is going to be something with the two games coming up this week between Michigan and Michigan State of where the officials are in all this, right? I mean, everything's condensed for the players, but these refs are working every night and in a little more of a hectic state than they previously were, I think, in some ways. So, you know, I'm sure that there's a grind there going on as well. But, certainly, though, the Michigan State, you know, when they were down 13 points in the first 10 minutes at Indiana when they were playing them on the road, that looked like the end of the season. I mean, that looked like, this is it. This team's, you know, heading into March with nothing to play for but being a spoiler. But, you know, credit Tom Izzo for, in some ways, stumbling onto that lineup with Langford and Henry kind of running the show and, you know, kind of interspersing Rocket Watts here or there, running the offense, but pulling him away from the bulk of the point guard. Because I don't think this team's in this position right now without that. And, you know, he stumbled into it, but he stuck to it. And it's worked and paid dividends for them. You know, you saw what it did against Illinois, and you saw what it did against Ohio State, and those were grinder games. And, you know, this, you know, these games are pretty interesting, especially the first one of the series here, because both of these teams have played a lot of basketball in such a short period of time because of their stoppages. I think Michigan's got like four, this will be like their, the Thursday game will be their fourth in, I believe, 8 days, and Michigan State is played at this will be their sixth in like 13 days or something like that. Something insane. I mean, it's, you know, that's different than a normal tournament schedule right now. And it's in the middle of March and it's the back end of the season. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, that's just kind of how it is in college basketball right now. You just don't know what to expect on a given night, particularly with all the different permutations and fluctuations that have been going on with things off the court and on the court to kind of impede what you see in the product nightly.
You know, Chris, that point you brought up about the officials, I mean, they're not getting a break either. And I haven't heard anybody else even mention that. I never even thought about it, you know, and for a lot of guys that are in the region who are, you know, it's a lot of travel. They're calling games nonstop. They're running up and down the floor, just like the players are like, and they happen to be a little bit older. So, you know, they got to stretch a little bit more, if you know what I'm saying. But this has really been, you know, did college basketball as a whole, did they do the players and the coaches and the universities just across the board kind of a disservice by not trying to push back the actual NCAA tournament and build in a couple of weeks so that different conferences and leagues could kind of shift around their conference tournaments? Did we as a collective, and I say we, but you know, I have no say in this whatsoever, but did the NCAA fail college basketball as a whole this year?
It's hard to say because, I mean, you know, who's the NCAA to make any of these determinations, right? I mean, it's on the conferences to do it, and they're the ones that kind of we saw in football as well, where they just pushed forward and really only kept things focused. I mean, listen, if the Big Ten wanted to right now and just said, you know what, we're pushing back our tournament a week, they could do that. But, you know, is the rest of the college conference is going to listen and say, you know what, that's a good idea, we should do that too? No, you know, that's the NCAA is its members, right? That's the one thing to keep in mind. And you know, I think they're all kind of hurting right now from still not having that tournament last year and then having such a, I don't even know what, a ramshackle football season, to say the least. And that's, you know, that's across the board, you know, from the Big Ten decision this summer to decide, or last summer, to not play, and then decide, well, maybe we should because everybody else is doing it, and then every other conference going through stoppages left and right, you know, teams and games getting shut down left and right, with sometimes teams and players in a different city. I mean, it's just, you know, this is kind of the world that we've lived in now for almost coming up on a year. You know, it'll be a year next week. And you know, did they do a disservice? Maybe. I mean, you know, everything in hindsight you wonder about. I mean, a lot of games were affected. A lot of players were affected. And I think that's to me something that we're not going to know about. We're not going to know how these players were affected, because, you know, you hear long hauler symptoms. You hear all these other things that come along, and that people are still trying to figure out and find out how and why it's happening, right? And, you know, people want to continually bring up, you know, did athletes die and, you know, everything else. But there's long-term consequences that we may or may not know for a while of what these athletes have gone through this year. So I think that's certainly worth bearing in mind and keeping an eye on as we move forward. So from a strict game standpoint, though, I think they could have used an extra week to get everybody to get the regular season games. And maybe, you know, that's partly what we come down to as well with you know, why wouldn't these conferences have canceled their postseason tournaments? Well, same reason that the NCAA tournament's going on at the same time. It all has to do with TV contracts.
Got to get that TV revenue.
Sweet of it.
You have to. They can't miss out on it again. I mean, that's for sure, because missing out on the NCAA tournament, the financial ramifications across the board there, you know, almost devastating for colleges.
And quite honestly, I mean, all those ad blocks have been sold. They've been sold for quite a while. So, you know, how do they, that's what it comes down to, is not wanting to disrupt the apple cart that the NCAA and their member institutions feast off of. I mean, so you just ram it in and get through what you can and get to March and, hey, everything's normal again, right? That's, you know, I hate to sound really pessimistic about that, because I do think that, you know, these kids and these coaches and the support staffs at these schools have gone to extreme lengths to try and keep things safe. I think that, you know, the medical staffs deserve a heck of a lot of credit. You know, you saw Michigan State go through a shutdown. You saw Michigan go through a shutdown without any cases. You know, it's been so all over the map, all around the country, in every different region, and a lot of different schools, that, you know, it's going to take some time to kind of process everything that we've seen over the course of the year in college sports and see how that's going to affect it long term, not just the athletes, but also the games and the athletic departments themselves.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Maybe I should run for president of the NCAA. I would have built in, you know, I'd call everybody to the table here. Let's have some real conversations and let's have May Madness this year and try to give these kids a little bit of a break. Because I think that one thing we're all taking for granted and not talking about is the fact that these kids still have classwork to do. They're still taking courses, you know. It's not, and there's a, you know, they have their practice schedule. They got to hit the training tables. You know, they have to travel to games and play games. And, I mean, they're exhausted. So, I don't know.
And the fact that many of them have been on campus since June of last year and haven't had breaks to go home, haven't had the ability to go home for holidays because they've been trying to quote unquote be in a bubble for the basketball players. I mean, it's different for the football players because, you know, the football players had the shutdown in the Big Ten, so they thought that it was not going to happen, so they were able to do that. And then they all of a sudden were like, oh, well, maybe we are going to do that. And their season was done in December. You know, most programs were done in December because of the limited amount of bowl games. Basketball players were still playing games over Christmas break, all through New Year. And really it's going to be, you know, for some teams through the middle of March, some teams through the end of March and early April. You're talking about almost a full year with some of them without any contact with their families and people at home. Physical contact, not the visual, not audio with calls or whatever. I mean, that's a long time for anybody to go without seeing their family, let alone kids that are still, you know, as much as we want to say they're adults and that they're out on their own, I mean, they're relying on their families. Otherwise, you wouldn't see places like Michigan State and Michigan amending rules to have family members there with Big Ten. I mean, it's, you know, it's important enough to have them in the stands. Isn't it important enough for them to be actually having physical contact with their families? It's an interesting trade-off that these kids have had to make. While getting an education and not getting paid, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's been quite the year, and we're really, I mean, we're deep in this right now, Chris, my friend. We are deep into the whole dynamic of it all, and these are, I mean, these are conversations that you don't hear a lot about, but I think that they need to be had, because, you know, these college athletes have really gone through a lot to make sure that they have an opportunity, and the universities have an opportunity to capitalize on what is the NCAA tournament. Back onto the stuff on the actual hardwood. What's the word around in the feeling? I know that Ryan in the studio, he is just, you know, he's head over heels over Josh Langford. And I think that most people are. If you understand his story and the amount of time that he missed due to injury, if you understand, you know, back when he was just 12 years old, he was a young child on his deathbed, and he gets to campus, he gets injured, he loses a couple seasons, and here he is, you know, playing 34, 35, 38 minutes a night and producing. It's just got to feel like a sigh or a sense of relief, if you will, for Josh Langford to play this season, to be playing as well as he has been, and just sort of like an overall feeling of happiness for that young man.
Yeah, I think so. But I do think that this kind of dovetails into what we just talked about. You know, Langford's a kid who's playing 35 minutes a game now on a left foot that's been surgically repaired twice. And Tom Izzo, after the Indiana game, said that, I mean, he nearly came to tears just by going to mention Josh Langford's name. Like, it was a 5-second pause where I thought the video had frozen, because I've never heard Izzo stop like this. And he kind of hinted at, you know, that that Langford isn't over the COVID situation that he had in January, that he told him he had trouble moving in that game against Indiana, that he would come to the sidelines, that Aaron Henry had to take over a lot of the player coaching duty that Izzo likes. Aaron Henry did all of that because, as Tom Izzo said, you know, it takes air to do that, and Langford didn't have that. I mean, think about that. Think about that coupled with the foot surgeries, coupled with the meningitis scare that he had as a kid. And this kid's in his fifth year and still grinding. I mean, it is one of the best stories in college basketball. Not to mention the fact that he is an unbelievable kid and has been. He was a five-star McDonald's All-American, probably would have been a one-and-done, maybe a two-and-done like Miles Bridges, but came back for his junior year and then started having those foot problems. When he did, you know, coming out of the Vegas tournament that year, he was the MVP in that and had a big game against Texas and really looked to be kind of taking that step that everyone thought as a McDonald's All-American he would be. And then having to put it all on pause for a year and a half, then to come back into this year with everything else that's gone on, play after deciding almost deciding last spring to not play again, start playing well and start playing some minutes, and then all of a sudden it gets stopped again with a COVID situation, and he's still coming back and playing 30 plus a game. I mean, it's remarkable. It really is remarkable. And you know, there are, you know, Izzo's had some really good kids the last few years with Winston and Tillman, and I think Henry falls in that camp as well. Tom Nairn and Langford is one of those kids. You know, I don't know what his future is going to hold, whether it's going to be coaching, which I think he could do if he wanted to, whether it's going to be pro ball, which is going to probably be up to the body at this point. He's 24 years old, so he's not exactly a spring chicken prospect anymore, but could maybe go overseas and play a couple years and try and get his way back into the league and get his way back into where he was physically before all the health issues. Or he's got a major, I think, in advertising and religious studies. I believe he's in his graduate program in that. So I think there may be a higher calling for Joshua Langford beyond anything with sports. So it really has been, though, a tremendous story. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles another game and after all of this. And, yeah, he took a big hard fall in that Indiana game, too, getting Trace Jackson-Davis the third foul or fourth foul maybe even. So, yeah, it's worth watching because – he has to be their point guard right now. That's just, they're at their best right now with him with the ball in their hands.
Last one for you, Chris, because we are up against it real quick. Gut feeling both for tonight and for Sunday. The in-state rivalry goes to a home and home, two games in 4 days. What's your gut feeling for Michigan State, Michigan?
Yeah, I think the first one goes to Michigan. I think obviously playing at Chrysler helps, but also having that intensity after scoring. So, I think 58 points or whatever it was against Illinois, I mean, there's going to be a bad taste if you want to exercise some of those demons quickly. As far as the Sunday game, you know, we'll see how it goes. Michigan State needs that extra day off in there to get a little bit of rest. And, you know, maybe I think Izzo in this stretch has shown second day preps, and he's done that throughout his career in the tournament as well. The second day preps seem to be his forte. And his staff's forte, so I would expect to see a game that looks different on Sunday than the one that we see on Thursday. But I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be enough to beat Michigan the way that they've been playing all season.
He is Chris Solari. Find him on Twitter at Chris Solari. Find his work in the Detroit Free Press covering the Michigan State Spartans. Chris, my friend, as always, thank you so much for the time, my man. We greatly appreciate you.
All right, Anthony, take care.